Dan Levitard, if we're really being honest about it, it's just a giant piece of shit.
To the Big Suey.
Bald Eagles.
A podcast exclusive that none of our bosses asked for.
More sports.
More work. Less pay.
I haven't stopped talking in a month. I mean, I don't know what to tell you.
Just when you thought the show couldn't be more diluted. Bam.
Last time I listened to this show.
I haven't listened for years.
Now here's the marching band to nowhere.
Am I missing something? What am I missing?
The end of the story.
Fat face.
Chris Fallick.
It's Felica. You made him a penis.
And the habitual liar.
I didn't ask for any of it.
You asked for all of it.
The Big Suey.
I'm Chris Cody, BSPN.
What a roller coaster ride that was for the Taysom Hill NFL Twitter experience. People hate him so much. I mean, I'm fine. Wanting Jameis over him. Let's just all agree that Drew Brees is the worst quarterback on that roster.
Oh, I want Jameis so bad. I said he was good last year. That was like my big take.
Also, I'm going to go ahead and get out in front of this. I'm going to admit I was wrong on Justin Herbert. I thought he had bust potential.
He's good.
Yeah, he's better than Drew Brees is right now. He still might end up being the third best quarterback from that draft.
You be careful with the Tua stuff. I've been seeing it on Twitter last night.
Yeah, a lot of people are doing the Tua stuff.
You be careful.
A lot of people are doing the Tua stuff. They should really honestly be doing the Burrow stuff.
Yeah. We talked about that as well. And my dad was saying that the rumblings have already started from Dolphins fans that they want Herbert over Tua. And I'm like, what? You just saw one guy tweet that.
They've inexplicably skipped over Joe Burrow in that discussion.
After the game last night, Ryan Clark, ESPN, said I wonder if the Dolphins made a mistake taking Tua instead of Herbert. Tua hasn't even thrown a ball yet. Can you give him a chance to fail?
Are you going to come out strong on Ryan Clark or what?
Herbert is 1-4. I mean, he's been good. You know, he wouldn't even be starting if the team doctor hadn't punctured Tyrod Taylor's lung.
I like these organic starts because we've been rolling on the Big Suey. And it just makes it seem as though like we're just big seam heads and just huge sports fans, and we love talking.
But that was a natural conversation. None of them knew that they were on air when they were doing it. Greg, the thing that I marvel at when it comes to these young quarterbacks, and we come from a different time, but usually the way that they would look after sitting for a couple of years on the bench is like they didn't know what they were doing. The idea that Herbert has come in and looked like this, where we are all looking at him and saying, okay, this isn't Daniel Jones. This is a guy who's big and strong and fast and an athlete. He knocked out a linebacker, you know, who was hitting him. He throws four touchdown passes last night. There's no disputing that he's looked great, and there's no disputing that Mike Tannenbaum looks less silly now, saying that he would have taken Herbert over Tua and Burrow when we were just having the conversation about Tua and Burrow.
Yeah, all true, but you know that can turn quickly, and it did for Daniel Jones, who had a couple of really big games and then went south fast, and Herbert throws three interceptions next week, and the narrative flips. I just hate the idea of second-guessing the Dolphins taking Tua before Tua is played. You know, the Dolphins are wary of his physical conditioning, and he's a guy who badly needed a couple of preseason games. So they're just being extremely cautious about unfurling him. But my thing is, let's wait and see Tua play before we start saying, oh, they should have picked Herbert. That's all I'm saying.
Were you going to rip Ryan Clark or not? Because Tony was trying to get you to rip Ryan Clark. The analysis was, it was not, you know, it was flimsy. The analysis was flimsy.
Right. Sure, I'll rip Ryan Clark.
Yes.
At the very least, it was premature what he said. I mean, he's saying it after, you know, after Herbert has a good game. He throws four touchdown passes, albeit in another loss. Chargers lead the league in losing close games, by the way. But I nailed it. I had the Saints winning but not covering, so it was a double win for my picks.
How are your picks doing this year? For those of you who do not know, Greg Cody has been doing picks for a long time. He consults an imaginary bird in order. It is the upset bird. It tells him it squawks when it feels an upset coming. That's it.
That make you feel so old. When I was like in first grade, I would look so forward to the Friday column every time with the upset bird and the squawk and the dog of the week.
Here's how old I am. Yeah, 30th year of picks. This is my 30th year of picks.
Your picks are older than I am.
Not true. Well, pert and air, if not plum. But I've been on a roll with my picks. I was 58%.
What is that saying? I've been hearing you use that. It's pert near, but not plum. What is that?
It's like pert near, not plum. Pert near, if not plum.
But this is one of those sayings that only you say, right?
What does this mean?
Pert near, if not plum means...
you don't even know close, what it means, do you?
No, it's close to being right on the mark. My dad used to say it, a master carpenter. you know, when you're aligning two joints of wood, it has to be perfect. So, you know, if I asked him, is that perfect?
Greg,
he'd go, pert near, if not plumb.
Greg, I know what it means just from the context that you said it, but I don't know what it means. I don't even know what you're saying. Like, I understand what it means. It means close, but what is pretty near but not plumb?
Spell the first word out, Dad.
It's pretty near. It's pretty near said with a southern accent.
Oh, okay.
Pert near. Pert near, if not plumb. But my pick, getting back to your question.
What is the plum? What does the plum mean?
Okay, so you're thinking of the edible fruit. Plum, as in P-L-U-M-B, in carpentry, it means level or even.
I have it here. Pert near, if not plumb, is a conversational phrase spoken by rural settlers in the U.S. territories and other areas in the early 1700s and 1800s prior to the availability of public education.
That was my heyday.
Prior to education, you are making phrases that are older than education.
That's right.
You were saying,
pert near, if not plumb.
You were saying, anyway, I interrupted you.
My picks have been going very well. 2 years ago, I set a personal record. I was close to 60% against the spread. Last year, I was well over 500. I think I was 54%. This year, I'm a few games over 500, but I'm doing well with my picks. Yeah, I usually get three or four underdog picks a week against the spread picks, like the Chargers last night. So I'm doing well. Thursday nights are killing me. But other than that, we're good.
At the risk of repeating a story we've told on a previous local hour, I actually, and I don't know if you guys have heard this. I know the Shipping Container has. Greg's picks are so old that I used to be a bookie in high school using Greg's picks at the newspaper that they used to give us for free. So I'd get the Miami Herald in my Spanish class. I'd go around to kids and be like, hey, who do you want in the Chargers and Bengals game? And they say, I like the Bengals +3. And I had an entire little bookie system inside my first period Spanish class just off Greg's picks alone.
How old were you? Nice entrepreneur. You have fallen very closely near your father's tree. Your father, an entrepreneur as long as I have known him. And so you were doing a bookie. When were you a bookie? And
what kind of cash? 16.
What kind of cash exchanges are we talking about? How did you decide, hey, I like the math on being a bookie?
Because I was able to see kids and be like, hey, I know this person doesn't know about football, so they're not going to really understand the picks. So I would have Greg's, you know, picks in my back pocket, kind of like Biff, right, where he would pull out the sports almanac and be like, hey, this is pretty good. So I started realizing, hey, Greg knows what he's doing. And then I would just use his picks against their picks, and that's how I would leverage it. And it would be like maybe $50 a week. So it wouldn't be a ton of money, but at $50 at 15 years old, I'd have lunch for the entire month.
Did you get any, like, did you take any beatings or were you just someone?
I was given beatings, Dan.
Can you guys tell me more about reading Greg Cody growing up? I want to hear more about you guys reading the upset.
No, bird. I can't.
Oh, my two sons were the worst. You know, I'd have this is back in the day when we actually had the physical newspaper on the kitchen counter. And I'd have written a Marlins column or something, and they would engage me in a conversation about what I had just written about, not knowing that I had written it. And so they're asking me my opinion about something, and I'm like, well, there it is right over there. Pick up the paper and read what I've just written about this exact
great move.
Subject.
That's a great move to be able to do that. And yet still, they would not read it. I know them both. They were not readers.
No, nobody. My wife doesn't read me either. You know, she says things constantly that I've just referred to in print or on air. You know, nobody cares in my house what I say.
But that was a big benchmark for the paper, right? I remember getting legitimately excited when that column would come out to find out what the game of the week was, what the dog of the week was going to be. Like,
thank you.
That was a big deal. Was that like, did that get advertising in the heyday of newspapers?
Yeah, no, it's been very popular for a long time. When you think about it, you think of everything changes constantly. nothing is the same. Well, for 30 years, people can count on my Friday picks, and I'm proud of that. I'm proud of the longevity. You know, the results go up and down. I'm no Nostradamus, but I have fun doing it. It's one of those things where I take my picks very seriously, but have a lot of fun doing it. Hence my upset bird who makes squawking noises. But
hold on a second. A couple of things here. First, I remember being in the Miami Herald building. We've got to go back, Greg, and count out what your 30-year record is against the spread and overall. Like, we've got to do that. Just your overall lifetime record. What happened, Billy? Why are you making a face at that? You don't think we should do that?
There's no way we're going to be able to track down those records.
Oh, my dad. That's totally. My dad is so anal about stats. He has all that. That's probably like he could probably reach it right now.
Well,
he just did. He's got a folder. He's got a manila folder.
It was very accessible from where he was sitting.
He just reached over. It's the most competent thing he's ever done
Billy
on this Zoom.
Finished the sentence.
Yes, before Billy, but you said it's impossible. He's got it already on a piece of paper he's showing us.
What it's actually a scroll.
There's no way the Herald has that records anywhere.
What is your
career? All I have really to do so is right add them up.
All right, so we should do this right now on air. We should do this. But yeah. What I wanted to ask you is, I don't know whether my brother did the original, the very first year, did the art and the bumper stickers of the Upset Bird.
Yes.
But wasn't there also like a commercial? I remember being in the Herald building and talking about a bird mascot. Did that bird mascot ever happen? Was that a thing? Like, I thought I'm having a recollection of the Upset Bird having a physical form.
Right. This is your brother's artwork. And these were the Upset Bird. But if you love the Upset Bird,
that's a Friday's bumper sticker he's showing us for those of you who do not consume this as anything other than a podcast because we're not on television.
Right. Well, I'm showing it. But you're right. There was a, paper mache Upset Bird mascot for a brief period of time. I don't know what they did with it. I don't know whatever became of it, but there was that thing. So it's been pretty popular for a long time.
The Upset Bird, for those that never grew up with the Miami Herald and that Friday column, when he would pick an upset of the week, it would be via the bird. But I don't think we've really gone into exact detail. He would write as the bird.
Yes, the bird had right. Well, the bird, he would quote the bird is what he would do. And the bird would always say words that had "awk" in them. Yeah. Yes.
I remember that.
Right. And you know how some people speak Spanglish, you know, they lapse from English into Spanish and back. The bird lapses from English into bird sounds. So he would be, you know, he would be saying that he's going to pick Green Bay to win. And then on the second reference, it would be green like that.
Wait a minute. What's that? Because that sounded like
the
green
Packers. Wouldn't it be the Packers?
Right. Green Bay. Pock.
Why are you taking out the errors, though?
Well, because, you know, it's the bird talking. It's not me. Every once in a while, I'll try to put the awk sound after a letter starting with C, and it never gets past the editors.
Well, this goes back as old as time. Greg Cody is forever trying to sneak one past the editors. Like every Greg,
do we ever see Brett Favre?
Listen,
right, exactly.
Greg Cody, this is not a lie. Greg Cody will write a tearjerker emotional column and then have a parenthetical riff that he goes for comedy in the middle of it, and the editor will have to take it out. And he's just always testing that boundary with bad judgment.
Just keeping the editor honest, right? Making sure he's reading the piece.
Exactly. It's a private test to see if the editor is actually reading what I've written.
Unlike your family.
Unlike my family, right, exactly. Well, when I first started at the Herald, my first job was writing a Broward County, a local bowling column. And I had to compile all the local scores of the top bowlers and everything. And, you know, I can say this now because it's 40 years ago and nobody cares. But I used to, as a joke, I would sneak in the name of a friend of mine into all the bowling agate. So all of a sudden, a friend of mine.
I did that too. I did that for the River Cities Gazette. I would throw in a couple of names of my friends just so that they could see themselves in the agate.
Exactly.
The agate.
Agate. Little tiny type.
Thank you for explaining that to Stu Gatz, because all he did, that's his move when he doesn't know what something is. He just repeats it.
I mean, look at this. A couple of columnists cutting it up. I mean.
We were talking during the local hour. We didn't have your opinion on this, Stu Gatz. The hotel bed experience. How do you feel about the hotel bed experience? Because I once stayed in a DoubleTree and liked the bed so much that I ended up figuring out what it was and buying a bed just like it. Because
did you really?
Yeah, because I liked the bed so much.
All right, I like the bedding, the sheets, the pillows, the mattress so much at a Ritz-Carlton that I did the same thing. Now, they do sell these things, but they were very expensive, so we ended up not buying it. I'm okay with it. Like, that's the best sleep I've ever had is in a Four Seasons or a Ritz-Carlton, just because, not because I don't want to sound like spoiled here. Well, that's the only place I go to.
It's too late.
But
once you mentioned those brands.
Yeah, but for those beds, for some reason, with my back, which is awful, those beds are the best beds I've ever slept on, period.
Don't you guys find, though, that even at these Ritz-Carltons and really nice hotels, it's tough to find the combination of a great pillow and bed? Usually, even at these nice hotels, you get a great pillow or you get a great mattress. It's tough to find the combination of both.
Is everyone in agreement with that? Because I heard you guys during the local hour, and it didn't seem like anyone disputed that. I feel I don't have a lot of complaints when it comes to hotel beds or pillows.
The pillows, sometimes they get it wrong.
Sometimes it's too big, too fluffy.
No, sometimes it's the opposite.
Too hard.
Yeah, I'll have like five pillows up to try to get the proper neck support, and it just feels like my head's hanging off the mattress. I don't understand. It's like a wizard trick.
I want to lay in a mattress of clouds. I want super soft, big pillows. That's right. What I'm looking for. Yeah.
I don't want to melt into the mattress.
Right.
I just want the whole thing to surround me and envelope me.
Sleeping Indian style.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Crisscross applesauce. Damn it.
It is now.
Hotels are renowned for their bedding.
Applesauce. Does your father still sleep like that, Greg? Do you still sleep with your legs crossed, crisscross applesauce?
Yeah, very much so. Crisscross. And also my hands, I sleep coffin style with my hands, with my fingers laced.
In an actual coffin.
Right.
In an actual
coffin. Just getting used to it, huh? Yeah.
Just wearing
it. I wasn't.
Just breaking it in.
I legitimately didn't know whether you meant initially a coffin like Dracula sleeps in, or C-O-U-G-H-I-N with an apostrophe, because you've been coughing so much around here.
Yeah, then ask my wife. Believe me, there was a time there when I was sleeping coffin style. Trust me.
Did you guys see what happened with Ian Rappaport, Stu Gatz? You, as a perpetual scammer and mover and shaker through the bowels and the sewage system of the radio labyrinth, know what it's like to advertise things. And Ian Rappaport, apparently, you know, he's one of the most credible. When you think of football credible reporters, it's a pretty short list, right? It's Schefter.
Yep.
It is
Diana Rossini.
Darlington.
Yep.
It is Mortensen.
Yep.
And Ian Rappaport, Michael Silver, I guess, as well. But it's
Jay Glazer.
Jay Glazer, yes.
Greg Cody.
But Ian Rappaport, are you jealous of all those names, Greg Cody, because you've been doing picks for 30 years and I didn't put you in there among the NFL reporters? But then again, the only news you've broken is the news of my engagement. So, like, it's not, you're not really a news
breaker. I gave you my top 10 list of all-time scoops. You know that.
Mm-hmm. So Ian Rappaport gets suspended. Is it 2 weeks for doing without permission, a manscaping ad with his credibility, using the credibility given to him by his job, by his network? He, you know, that's supposed to be, the lines on this have really, Stu Gatz, they've melted away, because it used to be, once upon a time, newspaper people did not do advertising. I'm one of the last holdouts on that. Eventually, it ended up happening where everyone was doing it. And you've wanted to do Cameo for a while. I heard the other day, I heard somebody at ESPN trying to get into the Cameo game, and then the precedent was cited, as it was cited with you.
Yep.
You can't do that, because then everyone's going to want to do it, and they're worried about the cheapening of the ESPN brand, because they don't want you out, hey, happy birthday, you know, Uncle Dick.
Sure.
Like what they probably don't want you, you know, out there besmirching or anyone besmirching the brand.
I feel like it's benign to, you know, to wish someone a happy birthday or a happy anniversary. But you're right. And I did see what happened with Ian Rappaport where, you know, he did social media and was promoting a product from Manscaped. Listen, you just, as much as I want to do it and I have done it, you have to ask your superiors if you're allowed to do it. I think he should know that by now, right? I think most people in this industry know that.
What percentage of time do you get a no when you ask? Because you get a good amount of no's, do you not?
I do. If it's one of our sponsors, like they have no problem, ESPN, if I post a picture with me next to the, you know, the flowers that were delivered from 1-800-Flowers or something like that. I guess it's when you go with something that they're competing against, you know?
It's all subject to approval. Right. You have to go through the proper protocol. Cameo is a problem because someone can, you don't want Chris Mortensen unknowingly saying, hey, happy anniversary to a white supremacist group because he's Chris Mortensen and he doesn't know how the internet works, you know? You can't have the precedent there. But I saw Mina did an ad over the weekend for Crown Royal. It's all subject to approval.
Right. There's a vetting process with Cameo that I understand that they're concerned about. Like DraftKings, I think, is a perfect example. There are plenty of one-day fantasy sites. I can't just endorse one on social media without asking ESPN. And if I ask ESPN, and I understand why they would say this, in all likelihood, they're going to say no.
I use that example because I think I remember Brett Favre actually congratulating a white supremacist group, and it was like a total mistake because he was just not researching it, and these groups were using it because he talks in code, and he has no idea what the hell this means. Why am I saying something about a turtle?
Is it any objection to the specifics of manscaping and the fact that Ian Rappaport, your NFL reporter, is basically saying, hey, shave your pubes? Is it any of that? Like, is there any of that?
I think they're an NFL sponsor, though.
Manscaped?
Yeah.
I mean, it is a founding principle of that company.
No, I know. I am not. Look, the company, I know you guys were celebrating all the products you got from Manscaping.
I shaved my pubes yesterday.
Manscaping
is great.
Especially in the South Florida heat, it gets muggy. You get very swampy down there. You need to let the air flow.
Again, but manscaping is just code. It's camouflage. It's a disguise for keep your pubes in order.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you probably don't want Adam Schefter doing that.
I'm fine with him. Yeah.
I mean, he has pubes, doesn't he?
You don't think he does?
I don't think so.
I think he's like a baby dolphin?
I believe he's more like the Ken doll. I believe that everything is sheen and his skin is the skin of a porpoise. I don't believe that Adam Schefter has any hair except the credibility that he gets from his stubble.
I have confirmed here via Deadspin that white supremacists did indeed trick Brett Favre into making a customized anti-Semitic video shout-out.
I was hoping that you would say, I have indeed confirmed that Adam Schefter has no pubes by looking
like
in his pants.
I wish I had said that, but Favre was tricked into
it. Really, normally you cannonball
on
me.
Mike needed it.
I put myself out there on an island.
He wasn't sure. I mean, Deadspin is the source, so I think you're good.
No, you came to my rescue. Right. I mean, it's dangerous when you trot out a hypothetical of Chris Mortensen saying something about white supremacists. I need all the support I can get.
I thought you were surprised you went there to begin with.
Because what happened was I thought I was recalling the Brett Favre example, and I didn't want to. You know how you once thought Ted Danson was like in a rape trial because you dreamt it once? I wanted to make sure I didn't dream up like Brett Favre was in a white supremacist cameo.
And I have a second. It's USA Today. So now you are definitely fine.
Way to go, Mike.
Corroboration.
That thing that you thought is absolutely so. But the question I was asking you guys about Ian Rappaport, that seems like a stiff penalty. For Ian Rappaport, 2 weeks, you basically, it's an eighth of his season. Yeah. You've got 2 weeks in the middle of the football season.
Yeah, it's not really so much like the sponsor, because you could apply the context and say, this is harmless, but he does work for the league. It's different than ESPN. Maybe, I don't know what sort of trimmer sponsorship the NFL has. If he circumvents that and puts in jeopardy an exclusive deal with the league, that is very problematic. It's not problematic for Ian Rappaport. He puts people in a very difficult position, and people can lose potentially big money deals. And even if they don't have a sponsor, it's all about precedent. You can't have someone acting rogue like that, because the next time it's a direct competitor with the NFL.
Stugatz, would you be kind enough, since you're bailing us all out here with the internet today, to tell us whether the NFL does indeed have an official pube sponsor, an official trimmer?
So I will check on it. Because it could be the NFL, it could be the network, it could be, like, I know the San Francisco 49ers, the team, has an exclusive deal.
Gillette's a good guess, but Gillette's a good guess by Mike, though.
Like, Gillette is the NFL's official razor.
There you go.
So maybe
that's probably an infringement.
Yeah,
yes,
the bathing suit area is probably domain of Gillette.
But the 49ers and Manscaped announced an exclusive multi-year partnership. So that's one team that is doing it.
Singular teams can have their own official razor, but the NFL as a league has an official razor, and Ian Rappaport works for the league.
That league makes so much money from nothing. The official trimmer of the NFL.
It's important.
I know, the official beer of the NFL. Like, I bet if you look that up, you could probably find an official something of the NFL. It'd probably run. How many deep do you imagine that runs? That official, you get.
There's got to be an official car.
Yogurt.
Yeah, right.
Right.
Yeah.
So do you guys think, what, 20 things, 50 things?
Like, they probably have reserved everything.
Every
like
category.
Probably, there's probably
official
an official
wireless.
Insole.
Yes.
Yeah.
Porn company.
Potato chip.
I don't think porn company, Chris.
Daily gambling.
I mean, is it a big jump from Manscaping to porn company?
Yes, it's a massive jump. It's a massive jump. Although they are related in some form or fashion.
I mean, in the best one.
They share context. Well,
and not in the bootleg flea market version. You got some real situations where you need some Manscaping.
I mean, vintage categories. But Greg knows all about that. Yes. You're right, Pornhub.
Cody, what was porn like in the 1600s? Before education.
Before Nerf Nut Plum.
I was trying to give you the opening for that, to use that anywhere, and you used it comedically at exactly the wrong time. You just burst it like Gus Johnson, nonsensically. Fox Sports!
The NFLPA has sponsors.
It's crazy. I'm looking at it. It's all confusing. Like, I have all three of the major credit cards being official sponsors of the NFL. Is that possible? I mean,
they take a lot of money and they get a lot of money from a lot
of
different places.
They have like percentages. Like, Verizon is this percentage the sponsor of the NFL. AT&T is this percentage. It's pretty crazy.
And T-Mobile is also an official sponsor. Papa John's, Pizza Hut, and Domino's, all official sponsors.
I mean, Papa John's lost the official pizza, and now you can't have football without the Hut.
Oh, that's right.
It is something that you have been watching for a while when it comes to money in that sport, where. When's the last time anything other than an NFL football game was the highest viewed thing of the week, or the highest 10 viewed things of the week? Like, anytime I see a list, because ratings are going down all over the place, not just because of the election, but because people are getting off the grid and they're streaming instead. You've got an interesting position here with the NFL staying where it stays. Its ratings may go down or fluctuate a little bit, but it's barely anything. And they always have the highest rated programs of the week. That's why all these sponsors are willing. That's why three different sponsors, competing sponsors, are willing to get in on a percentage of the pie. You've got something that's got guaranteed tens of millions of viewers.
I mean, Verizon spent $300 million even while knowing AT&T and T-Mobile are also sponsors. Think about that.
Yeah.
Billy does a whole. I'm sorry.
How did NBA Finals Game 6 do versus the
poorly,
NFL?
Very poorly. It was LeBron clinched, and I think it was like 6 million viewers. I think I've got that right. It went down, and it's specifically because of that, Greg, because you've got the pie of sports fans, and some of them are not going to leave football for anything, and some of them are with the baseball games. You've just got – that's why – if you didn't know before, now you know why these leagues have so little overlap in their scheduling, because that's not something that they don't want to be competing against each other. But as we've said a number of times around here, during a pandemic, given that they were already going without fans and without right. the money from concessions and ticket sales and parking and everything else, they were just trying to salvage however it is they could the television money. So whatever the ratings were would be a bonus. But even Adam Silver said he was surprised and confused that more people, because he knows that his league is LeBron. He knows that LeBron's at the top of the food chain. LeBron in the finals going for a fourth title should have been a bigger deal than it was, and yet it's getting – so, God, what does this tell you about the NFL? Seahawks-Vikings? Like, I know the Seahawks are good, but Seahawks-Vikings, bigger than a championship game with the biggest star in American sports?
That was over by half, though. That game was over by half.
But still, it's
but
not,
if that's a closer game,
maybe,
I think it, right.
Maybe people
it's,
go it's over almost, later.
Yeah.
It's almost double. It's not like it's barely beating
right.
them. Like,
yeah.
Tony just put it in the chat. It's like 11 million versus 5.6.
It's become America's game. It just has. And there's nothing that I don't see it going away. And there's nothing that can compete with it. Nothing. None of the sports that we have will ever compete with the NFL.
The only thing and the only reason it would go away is the thing that Mark Cuban was predicting and is looking silly right now. Right. Dana White told us many years ago that UFC would be bigger than American football. He was not right, although internationally he's got a better claim than you would have thought at the time. And anyone saying that baseball or basketball, the only way that those guys can get into the game is if football, they've had ethical calamities. It has to be a physical calamity. Like they're protecting their quarterback stars as much as they can by actually changing the rules and allowing them to play a different sport than the rest of the people on the field, because they are protecting the value of that stardom. That is not a secret. It is obvious. That stardom, Stu Gotson, I talked with Bomani about this on a recent Big Suey. It's interesting to watch the emergence of the black quarterback, because it would appear that the white quarterback is a bit of an endangered species as coaches figure out how to use the Kyler Murrays and the Russell Wilsons and the smaller guys that don't fit the prototype 6'6 body of, you know, Peyton Manning.
Although Justin Herbert seems to be saying not so fast, my friends.
And Josh Allen as well. Yes. But what becomes of the league? It's not a coincidence, Dugatz, that Mayfield is the one who gets the Hulu commercials. That outside of Cam Newton getting a yogurt commercial and now Patrick Mahomes getting some State Farm stuff, the insurance commercials tend to go to the white guys.
Well, Chris Paul has that insurance deal as well.
I'm talking about in football at the quarterback position. Like,
right, Aaron Rodgers, Patrick Mahomes.
Just
now
throughout time. Like, they market it that way.
Yes.
It was Tom Brady before.
100%. Like Peyton Manning.
But when Tom Brady got hurt, they actually changed the rules. You could basically only hit a quarterback now in the torso. Like, you can't. There's some ridiculous calls every week in the league where we've gotten accustomed to it. Somebody hits a quarterback a little bit high or a little bit low, and we're like, yeah, that's a penalty. You can't hit a quarterback that way. That is the only thing that can harm the league, as far as I can tell, is just an obliteration of the quarterback position that makes everyone a little bit too disposable as opposed to just the running backs. What else could do it?
Man. I mean, maybe.
I mean, we're 4 years removed from us having the conversation. Man,
I don't think
Mark Cuban's
going
to be right, because NBA ratings were sky high.
But it would appear to be wrong. It would appear to be, yes, we're 4 years from having, the league seemed to be in crisis, and it was under the Kaepernick stuff.
Yeah, but we have a treetop view in 2020. 4 years down the line, this might look ridiculous too, because in 2016, we're like, there's no way that this ever bounces back.
But what would it be other than a physical calamity of some sort? Like, a rash of paralysis.
Well, they showed bad press, because I was like, the Ray Rice stuff
was
happening.
Well, Mike, they got past
that, right? And after the Ray Rice stuff happening, then you have these anthem protests.
I don't think there's anything.
It was also in another election cycle, which people kept trying to scream, hey, this always happens. Every 4 years, we're like this. But we're in an election cycle right now, and it affected the NBA, not so much the NFL. I have TV ratings from 2 weeks ago. You had two black quarterbacks in Patrick Mahomes and Lamar Jackson being the number one rated show, 18 to 49. On cable network, that includes network television, ESPN's Monday Night Football with two black quarterbacks was still number one ahead of the presidential debates.
And just from a, you know, economic standpoint, financial standpoint, their top two sponsors just last year, just two of them, spent $550 million combined. Just two sponsors, Verizon and Bud Light. I don't, I mean, and I've seen Lamar Jackson actually in some ads now recently as
well, a couple of ads. I kind of had a problem with what Bomani was saying because it's faulty. Everyone holds up Baker Mayfield. Tua Tagovailoa has several endorsement deals. People try to get in on the ground floor with younger quarterbacks, and Baker Mayfield was obviously the number one overall draft pick. You see that all the time.
Historically, Mike, those ads go to the white guys.
Historically, the position goes to the white guys. Yes. Yeah.
Correct. Right. And, but it's not like there haven't been black quarterbacks. It's not like Doug Williams was getting any of the ads. Like, Was Randall Cunningham getting ads?
It's not
like Michael Vick was getting a lot of the ads.
No, you're 100%
Michael
right.
Vick was getting ads. Michael Vick was a good pitchman in his heyday. It's just when we actually break it down, I think it's actually pretty comparable. The white quarterback pitchman in the league right now compared to the black quarterback pitchman. It's a certain level of status and also stuff like rookie quarterbacks like you're seeing with Tua.
The NFL is so big, so impervious, so entrenched, nothing is going to stop King Sport. And even quarterback injuries, there are so many good quarterbacks now. Dak Prescott goes down in Dallas, and a minute later, the whole talk is, wow, it's how lucky were they to have signed Andy Dalton? They're not going to lose that much right now. They're still favored. Post-Prescott injury, Dallas is still favored to win the world's saddest division. So there are so many great quarterbacks now that unless you get a spate of those injuries, I don't think losing one star, it's just a blip and Kingsport plows on and everything is the same.
Yeah, Dak Prescott actually has a national campaign with the official mattress of the NFL, Sleep Number.
You're right. Of the belief, Greg, that the Dallas Cowboys are not going to have a significant drop-off with Andy Dalton as their quarterback? Now, their skill guys, skill guys are very good. I'm not talking about winning. I'm talking about production. I'm talking about drop-off from the position. You're of the belief that Andy Dalton and Dak Prescott are comparable?
I'm not of the belief they're comparable. I'm of the belief that Dallas has three really good receivers. They're going to get more. Zeke Elliott has not had a great first third of the season. They're going to start getting more from him and change their offense a little bit. I'm just saying that they have a qualified, proven, big name backup, which most teams don't. The Jets do. I mean, you could make an argument that Joe Flacco gives them a better chance to win than
those two guys. So this is what I'm talking about, though, as it relates to the endangered species list. I don't think the backup quarterbacks are going to look like that in 15 years. I don't think they're physically going to be guys who can't move around, who are concrete-footed Joe Flacco's and Andy Dalton's. I think you're going to get, in upcoming years, the guys who come in to replace the injured guys, I believe, are going to be more flexible. They're going to be able to move around.
I mean, Bomani's a brilliant guy, but that was just like, that's a shocking opinion. Like, the white quarterback is going to be extinct. It also seems unnecessary. And also, just it was like not factual because he was like, he cited the AFC North. The only white guy that you got to take is Joe Burrow. Right now, the worst passer in that division statistically is Lamar Jackson. Bomani's a brilliant man. But I'm not a fan of his NFL opinions all that often.
Why does one have to go away? Why can't there just be there's some black quarterbacks, there's some white quarterbacks? Sometimes there's more black quarterbacks than white quarterbacks. Sometimes there's more white quarterbacks than black quarterbacks.
To me, it just seems like an unnecessary opinion.
I remember many years ago, I'm trying to remember who the players were involved because it might have been Dante Culpepper and Donovan McNabb and Cade McNown. The three of them.
Oh, the black quarterback.
And the cover of the magazine was going to be ESPN the magazine. They didn't end up doing it. Here comes the black quarterback with Cade McNown in the middle of the photo, and they didn't end up doing it because it was too risky to put the white quarterback out there. What you have happening right now that can't be disputed and why there's a shift, and you might and can object to endangered white quarterback, is as you see the older guys age, Stugatz, and the margin for error with them shrinks so that Drew Brees can get you to the playoffs, but he loses to Kirk Cousins at home. And Tom Brady can get you to the playoffs, but he loses to Ryan Tannehill at home. The best quarterbacks right now most feared in the sport, and this is a first. Like, they're black. Like, that's not something that was so before. And you're used to all the quarterbacks
well, some of
you
them
grew
are
up
black.
With. No, the very best ones.
Well, I think Rodgers is certainly in that category right now.
Yes.
Right? Yeah, well,
yes.
They're mobile. Yes. I think, even though Rodgers' mobility has really fallen off.
So you've got Russell Wilson.
Yep.
You've got Lamar Murray, as Greg Gumbel likes to call
Patrick
him.
Mahomes.
You've got Patrick Mahomes. And on top of that, two of those guys are young.
People conflate athleticism and mobility with black because historically, at least when I was growing up, the mobile guys outside of Steve Young were the black quarterbacks, and there weren't very many of them. Right now, mobile quarterbacks... Absolutely, but that stuff is also being taught at the grassroots level right now. The position has been revolutionized. No. And yes, athletically, you're more inclined to have more black people play that position now because you see the value of mobility. I think there's something to that, but it also says that we just saw Justin Herbert and he seems like an athlete. It also closes the door like, well, white people can't be this athletic. If we went the other way on it, it would be a shocking opinion.
But Dan is right. There's never been a time watching the NFL where three of the top five quarterbacks in the NFL, and maybe the top three, all three of them are black quarterbacks. That's, and Kyler Murray's right up there, by the way.
But the point that there's a spot, okay, between there's no place for the white quarterback anymore, and the conversation I'm trying to have with you guys when I'm talking about specifically the way that Flacco and Dalton play. And as the position evolves and you see, wait a minute, I need someone who can move back there. I need Josh Allen. I need Justin Herbert. I need to increase my options so it's not just statuesque guy back there because my protection's going to break down once in a while.
Eagles took Jalen Hurts having Carson Wentz. I mean, they did.
Man, but because Carson Wentz was getting hurt doing the mobile stuff. But the mobility, my problem with that Bomani take was if he just says mobile quarterbacks and just the statuesque quarterback is endangered, fine. But there are plenty of athletic white quarterbacks, and he's essentially saying you can't be as athletic as these other people because of the color of your skin, which fundamentally is a problematic take for me.
How many of the quarterbacks are white and athletic? It's Herbert and Young.
We left that to Sean Watson, by the way.
It's Josh Allen.
Josh Allen. Yep. Herbert. Mobile, young, white. Like if that's the
What's your definition of mobile? Because Baker Mayfield doesn't seem mobile by today's standards, but in the 1990s, he's Steve Young.
Right.
Well, no, you need to slow down there.
But because Baker Mayfield runs out of the pocket and does rollouts
Steve Young was
one of the great running quarterbacks ever. We sound old.
I understand.
Defending our territory.
I know. I remember Steve Young.
Steve Young was not Baker Mayfield athletically.
I understand. Let me walk that back.
But please
do. But Steve Young was also not Michael Vick. If you watch some of these videos, you're like, oh, wait a second. That was qualified as like crazy mobile. You watch Kyler Murray run and you're like, holy shit, I thought Steve Young was athletic.
I'm not putting this guy up, you know, with the elite quarterbacks, but Tannehill is a starting quarterback that is mobile and athletic.
Yes. Uh-huh. Yep. He is.
Yeah, but he's not off the top of the head, which is insane because if Tannehill was in the 90s, we'd be like, this is electric.
Well, the thing about the quarterback position, though, the way that it's being played at the highest level, what I'm talking about is the highest level. Like, Dak's not even in the highest level.
No.
Dak is a tier below the same way Tannehill. I'm talking about the guys who everyone knows nationally because they're excellent. Rodgers is old, and he's the only white one among the guys at the very top where you're saying, I want that
Brady's
guy for the next
excellent.
10 years.
Oh, next 10 years, yeah. Right. I mean, Brady's just the next five.
We also overreact to things, too. Jared Goff would have been atop the list, but also Jared Goff had a nice run. Even the guys that are not thought of as athletic are super mobile when you consider where the position was just, 20 years ago.